Welcome to Sell Like You, the ultimate sales podcast that will teach you how to make sales your superpower, transform your mindset, and in doing so, explode your sales beyond your wildest dreams. I'm Harriet Meller, and over the last 17 years, I've helped hundreds of top companies around the world, including my own, make more money and qualify more leads using simple strategies that work. In this podcast, you'll learn how I generated over 10 million in annual sales, along with the sales techniques, processes, and tools that will work for you to generate more dream-aligned clients and scale your business beyond what you thought was possible. If you're sick of the boring, outdated, and pushy sales tactics of the past, you're in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Sell Like You podcast with me, Harriet Meller. I'm excited to be back in your ears, and we are talking about money, opportunities, and leaving it on the table, which often we see, especially in our early stages of a sales career, but often we can find that we get really complacent and we are therefore just not necessarily listening out for everything that is going on. Now, today's episode is going to be diving into examples of leaving money on the table, how we can overcome that, but also some of the examples of finding multiple opportunities and not diving all in, and instead taking a slightly different approach. So make sure you listen out for these examples. As always, this episode is going to be full of my experiences, what we train, what we coach our clients on, but also what our clients are sharing and also what else we're seeing in the industry. So we've been here for a little while now, and I'm super excited to continue this journey with you on the podcast. So what is leaving money on the table? So essentially, when we are thinking about going into an opportunity and we're having a conversation, and maybe you've got one thing you're going in with and you are really honed in on that one thing. When we go in and we focus so heavily on one thing, we can often only speak about that one little thing, and then we leave once we've got our information. Now, when we talk about leaving money on the table, is there extra services around that? Is there a scoping feasibility to do with something else that we're offering? Is there a follow-up piece? Is there extra support that we can provide? Are there extra products that maybe complement those as well? Now, it's not to say that they are always needed or wanted or relevant. So we need to really make sure we're listening out for the relevant and the requirement for our ideal clients or opportunities or prospects as well. So when we look at opportunities where we are maybe going in with one clear conversation, again, this often can happen the other way around, where we're getting an inbound lead and we are therefore then trying to then qualify that one out as well. So whether it's inbound or outbound, let's say we've gone out for one opportunity or we've got an inbound for one opportunity, often we'll qualify that one specific area, give them the proposal or the pricing or the quote, whatever you call it. And then we deliver that out. They say, yes, we deliver on it. And away we go. Okay. There may be more scope then to go out there and work with them again. And therefore, we're going to be taking more money off the table using the terminology that we have used in today's episode. Now, giving an example of this. So there's an example. I really like the example that was given. So I'm actually going to take somebody else's example. So Tony Morris, we had him on the podcast not so long ago, and he's written a book called Coffees for Closers. If you have not read it, then I highly recommend that you do so. And also check out the episode where Tony comes on and shares some of his top insights into the top 1% of salespeople as well. But in the book, he shares an example of a fleet sales, car fleet salesperson. And they were selling car fleet sales. Somebody inquired about it and told him that this was given by the business, and the company had gave them an allowance, and that she was able to go away and use that. So he supported her and was able to then, you know, deliver that service, and she was very happy. Now, if we go back to the initial conversation piece that I just shared, there was that the company gave that allowance. Now, that's showing that there are more people in that company that are looking for fleet management or a car through a fleet based service. So by understanding who the company is, how they give those allowances, what information they give with those allowances, because again, a lot of companies just go, here's your allowance, off you go, you do with it what you want. How can you get a referral in there? How can you find out more of them? Can she give you an introduction? Is it the company you need to go to? That's an example of leaving money on the table by not doing it, and then being able to take in a bigger piece of the pie, take more money off the table because there is more opportunity there for you to support. Now, it's not a negative thing. Again, talking about money is a bit crass. I know that, especially coming from England. We don't like to talk about money. But when it comes to leaving money on the table, it's also leaving service on the table. It's also leaving support on the table. It's also leaving their best interests at heart on the table as well. So again, be mindful that it may be money from a target or from a revenue perspective, but actually there's so much more there that you can do, knowing that using this Carfleet example, if somebody else went somewhere else, Googled something else, they may not be getting the best service. They may not be getting the best level of support. And that's only because you are not there leading in and asking better or, you know, more questions around that service as well. So I want to share that example just to kind of get the thought process and the ball rolling around this prospect. Now, again, if you are looking at the other side of it, which I mentioned, where we're looking at finding opportunities or finding out multiple opportunities and working with them to decipher which one's really important. So again, in my experience, when I was in tech sales, I would go out with using, and still what I teach today is around using a very niche or a specific challenge or service or product that's seeing success in that specific industry. Now, what that does, it gets them hooked in, you use the right language, you know that they're going to have, or you've got a strong feeling or strong understanding that they're going to have those issues or challenges, and we're leveraging successes to bring them back in to having those conversations as well. So when we're doing that, we could go out there and we could just talk about that one thing. They might say no to that one thing, or we might qualify it out and find out a bit more about that one thing and be able to move them through. But what I found through my qualification technique was that I would find multiple opportunities. I'd find often 7, 8, 9, 10. It sounds like a lot, but in technology as a reseller, I could work with any vertical. I could do server storage, laptop, phones, internet, you name it. So I could cover their entire requirement if they trusted me enough and if I got enough information out of them. So what I would do at that stage is that what a lot of salespeople do, and this is what I see as we're doing our audits and our assessments, is that we'll either stop with one, we won't qualify out anything further, or we find these 7 or 8 and we go whole hog on 7 or 8. We've got 7 or 8 proposals out. We're trying to solve everything at once. And both of those are going to lead you down the wrong path, in my opinion. So when we're looking at the first one, which I gave, where we're saying there's one opportunity, we go in, we qualify that, and we move on. Whilst we're in that and we've got their attention, we've bought them a coffee, and we're really nutting out some of the challenges around that one area, asking a couple of bridging questions around other areas that you know they are responsible for, or you want to find out if they're responsible for, asking a couple of questions will allow you to do that. Really simple questions. Is this part of your remit? Have you ever found these two connecting? Would you say that this would also be part of your project? Who else supports you with this? What other departments are key in relation to this project? Really simple questions that we can ask to just uncover. We don't need to do anything with them at that initial stage, but we want to be able to go back once we've proven, we've given them the use case, we've showcased our expertise, how great we are to work with, how great we are to deal with. We can then go back and ask them more. Now, if we don't do that, we come to the end of that and we've got to start again. We've got to have that meeting again and go through that. That's not to say that's wrong or that you won't get it, but we're going to be slowing down that process, and somebody else may have come in during that process and asked them about something else. How often have you heard, "Oh, I didn't realize you did that"? Okay, that's something that a salesperson never wishes to hear, because often they've already bought from somewhere else, they've already engaged somebody else, and now we're waiting for a year, 2 years, 3 years, depending on the life cycle of that product or service. Okay. So when we look at the other side of it, where we've got these 7 or 8, even if it's 3, okay, it doesn't matter how many, but more than one, we're going to say, we need to also be mindful of how we handle that. So if you've got multiple opportunities there, you're like Harriet said, don't leave money on the table. Let's take all of these 6 opportunities and let's run with them. That is not what I mean. What I would recommend you do is that you go through those 3, 6, 8, however many opportunities they are, and get your prospect at this point, they're maybe not a client, get your prospect to number them in order of importance, or ask them, if you could solve 1 or 2 problems you've shared with me today, what would they be? You may have heard the example being given. If I had a magic wand and I could fix two of these things for you, or magically fix two of these things for you, what would they be and why? So again, asking these types of questions will allow you to uncover what is most important. What you may find is that what you went in for, what they said yes to a meeting for, is actually not the most important project or thing on their list. And therefore you can start there. And they're going to really like the fact that you've asked the right questions, that you've showcased what it is that you can support and how or why, and be able to then take them through at that level as well. Okay. So they're your two examples. When we're looking at that niche one where we're going in, we've got some ideas of how we can ask some better questions so we can uncover more opportunities. Even if you've got different departments, again, I see this a lot in technology, you've got different salespeople responsible for different things. Imagine how grateful somebody would be if you asked a question to uncover a managed service requirement and you're selling, cybersecurity or backup services. At that point, you can hand that off to somebody. You're able to help your prospect or your client at that stage to be able to achieve more working with you. Okay. So it's going to be a win-win on those sides. Coming back to our big list, we want to identify what it is, what's most important, what's going to help them tick some things off their list, and then bring that back into a today conversation. Okay. So let's start here. Look, I can absolutely support you with all of the things we've discussed today, and I would absolutely love to do that. However, I'm really keen to build some trust with you. I'm really keen to showcase capability. So can we start with one or two things? Showcase what that's going to look like. Let's get to know each other a little bit better. Let's show you what we do at this organization, how we do it. And then from there, if you're still happy and we're still on this journey, we can then continue and happily we'll open the rest up and we'll look at all six together. Okay. What you're doing there is you're slowing down the process. It's similar to when we reach out, maybe using a cold call, and we don't dive into a million questions at once. That's what the prospect or the opportunity is expecting, because that's what everybody else does. And it's not very effective. And what happens is that we're being rammed down our throat. We're like, I'm busy. I've got all these objections to give you because you've caught me in the middle of something. I'm busy. I'm running into a meeting. I've got to go. Call me back later. And you'll never get hold of them again, usually. So what we then recommend you do is that we slow it down. We then ask a question. We ask if they've got time to be able to have that conversation with us at a later date. We're doing the same thing in our opportunity base. Okay. So look, I'd love to help you here. Can we slow this down a bit? Can we do this one thing? I'd really like to build some trust. I'd really like to showcase capability, because we can absolutely support you on all of these things. And if you're open to doing all of that, we can do that now, but let's just focus on one or two key things. When the opportunities are too many or too big or too vast, what you'll come up against challenge-wise is going to be budget. It's going to be sign-off. It's going to be trying to achieve all of these things at once. Can they roll everything out at once? Is it a project that complements one another? Is it going to be different if we do one thing first and then do the next thing, then do the next thing? Or do we need them to do all of them together? Okay. So be really mindful of what's going to support them, what's going to give you the best chance to showcase and deliver the best level of service or product to your ideal client, and then what's going to get them coming back and wanting more from you and having that repeat business, those repeat clients as well. Okay. So again, slowing it down, asking for more, finding out what else is going on is going to be really key in taking more money off the table. If you have complementary services, and be mindful of how they are delivered. I see a lot of clients that just tick them in to into their proposals, where they will tick them through and just say, look, option, option, option. I don't love that as an option. And the reason why is that we're not really doing any qualification to get them through. And therefore, when it comes to just at the end of that proposal, the chances are they're just not going to say yes to it, because they don't fully understand it. We've not explained where it sits and why it sits there. Okay. So being really mindful of those things is going to be really key. And again, slowing it down, educating, explaining why we're going to take one thing rather than two things, rather than three things. Get their buy-in at that point, because I can guarantee no other salesperson is doing that. They are going to be running hard after those opportunities. They're going to be deal-regging everything. They're going to be proposing everything, and the chances are they're going to lose it, because it's going to be too big a scope, too many things that have been identified. And remember, they initially only want to speak to you about one or two things maximum. So make sure you come back to them, make it relevant. Don't feel like you're running ahead with the opportunity and they're just noddling along. you'll also see that once you get to proposal stage and they don't answer your calls, they don't get your meeting, your second or third meeting as well. So just again, be mindful what we do early on sets the stage for our entire relationship, but also that entire sales process as well. Qualification is key. It's definitely something that's going to make or break your deal and further down the line, especially if they are looking at alternative options or they need to look at further recommendations of how this needs to play out, especially in those project-based or service-based decisions as well. So this episode, as I mentioned, is about leaving too much money on the table, how we don't want to do that. But ultimately, we don't want to leave any opportunity unturned. We can do that through qualification. Don't be afraid to ask extra questions outside of what it is that you're in for. If you uncover more opportunities, qualify them out. Ask which ones the prospect or client would like you to run with first and go from there. Take the lead from them. Qualification is really where this needs to sit. There's more episodes on qualification. And if you'd like some extra insights, then please feel free to drop me a DM on LinkedIn or connect with me. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you thought of this episode and if this added value to you as well. As always, happy selling. Thank you for having me in your ears. And I will be back with another episode soon. Thank you for tuning into the Sell Like You podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe to never miss another one. A huge thank you to Vitality House for hosting today's recording, and I look forward to being back into your ears soon.